Well, this morning we are continuing in our Easter sermon series. It's a sermon series we're called Made New. It's a sermon series where we are looking at all of the different ways that Easter brings a freshness to our lives, how it makes us new. And if you've been with us the past few weeks, you'll remember we've talked about how we are made new in faith. We read the story of Doubting Thomas and how he came to this new belief. Or last week, we talked about the new purposes God gives us after Easter, how God always has a calling upon your life, even until your dying day. And this morning we come to a different topic. It's not a topic of what we do, it's a topic of how we see. The new vision God gives us in Easter. Now to get into this topic, we're reading the story of Tabitha. Tabitha, who's also called Dorcas, but for the life of me, I can't call her Dorcas with a straight face because it takes me back to middle school. So I'll simply refer to her as Tabitha. The story of Tabitha, that saint of the church in Joppa, whose life was changed because of Easter. We're going to come to this text, but before we do, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are the potter. We are the clay. Amen. Well, several years ago now, on the Turner Classic Movie Station, there was an ad posted in a local paper for an upcoming movie that the station was going to promote. Now, the ad in the paper gave a short synopsis of the film that would be shown on Turner Classic Movie. It gave the title and the showtime. This is what it said. The ad read, quote, "Transported to a surreal landscape, a young girl kills the first person she meets, then teams up with three strangers to kill again. Tune in this Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. to see Julie Garland in The Wizard of Oz." Now, isn't it interesting how two people can see the exact same film in two very different ways? There's nothing wrong about that. They can look at the same characters, they can look at the same plot, the same drama that takes place in the story, and yet they can come away with two very different interpretations. You see, sometimes in life, it's not what you see, but it's how you see that makes the difference. Take our scripture passage this morning. The story of Tabitha found in the book of Acts. You see, Luke, the author of Acts, gives us two very different ways of seeing the exact same events. The story begins with a woman named Tabitha who dies suddenly, an untimely death, in a little village called Joppa. Now, we don't know much about Tabitha. We know she was a saint of the church there in Joppa. We know that she dedicated her life to serving others. Specifically, she served the widows of the community. She was their guardian angel. She was their protector. She was the one who provided for them. She made them tunics and clothing for them to wear. And when Tabitha died, the widows were overcome with grief. In fact, the story goes, the women who had so benefited from Tabitha's ministry went to Tabitha's house to pay their final respects. And when they went to her house, they brought with them articles of clothing, things that Tabitha had made for them over the years. And when they walked in the room and they saw her body lying there on the table, they broke down with emotion. You see, to the widows there in Joppa, the death of Tabitha was a tragic event. It was a story of human frailty. That's how they saw it. That was their perspective. They walked into a situation, they realized that there was nothing to be done there, and the only thing that they were able to do was grieve. Of course, that's how some people see the world. Some people see the world through a very human perspective. They view a situation only through their own earthly eyes. And when we view the world simply through our earthly eyes, from our earthly perspective, well, it can feel a little hopeless. You can be overcome with grief. Maybe you remember the story of Kevin Carter, that award-winning photographer from South Africa, who was assigned to take pictures of the war-torn region of the South Sudan back in the early 90s. Kevin Carter went to a little village in the South Sudan where the United Nations had set up a feeding tent. And he took pictures of the people there day in and day out so that he could share their story with the world. Kevin said during his time there in the Sudan, he was overwhelmed by the needs of the community and how little resources there were to go around. One day he was there working in the community taking photos when he saw a little girl, 2, maybe 3 years old at the most, trying to make her way to the feeding station. She was so young, and yet her body was already disfigured with hunger. She would walk a little bit and then collapse, and then walk a little bit more and collapse. All the while, Kevin was taking photos to share with the world. Now, the photos Kevin took of the little girl are haunting in and of themselves, but the truly terrifying thing in the image was a giant vulture following the girl just a few feet behind, waiting for her to collapse one final time. Kevin said he took the picture, and as soon as he took the picture, he went under a tree, and for the rest of the afternoon, he simply cried, overcome with emotion. He would smoke all afternoon, just trying to rid himself of the image he had just seen, the little girl and the vulture, the girl and the vulture. In 1994, he won the Pulitzer Prize for that very image. It brought him fame. It brought him acclaim, and yet it did not bring him any comfort. He said for the rest of his life, he could not rid himself of what he had seen. You see, when you see the world from a strictly human perspective, it's hard not to be overcome with grief. When you view the world through Good Friday, well, there's always more death than there is new life. There's always more pain than there is healing. There are always more needs than there are resources. Sometimes it feels like there's nothing left for us to do than simply mourn. The widows of Joppa gathered together, weeping and crying for the loss of their friend Tabitha. Earthly eyes, that's one way you can view the world, but it is not the only way. Because you see in the story, as soon as Peter arrives in Joppa, he looks at the exact same scene as the widows. He sees the exact same facts right before his eyes, only he comes to a very different interpretation. He sees Tabitha's body lying there, lifeless on the table. But instead of being overcome with grief and emotion, Peter responds in faith. And why? Because for Peter, Tabitha's death is not an end. It's not a finality. Instead, it is simply a new opportunity for God to display God's power in the world. For Peter, well, this isn't a story of human weakness at all. Instead, this is a story of God's strength, and it's a story he had already seen before. After all, Peter was there at the empty tomb on Easter Sunday. He had already seen how God could overcome the power of death in the world. He had already seen how the story of Jesus did not end on Good Friday. Instead, it began on Easter Sunday. And witnessing that Easter miracle, being that Easter person, it fundamentally changed the way he saw everything else in the world. Now, Peter didn't approach death with a sense of grief and sadness. Instead, he came with a sense of anticipation, anticipating the miracle that God was about to perform. He saw the world differently. He had a new vision because of Easter. I'm reminded of the story of Fred Rogers, the venerable Mr. Rogers, who once told about a time when he was a child watching the news with his parents and seeing a natural disaster on TV. And Fred Rogers said that he was overcome with fear, seeing a tornado that had torn through a town. He looked at the people who had been injured by the storm. He looked at the houses that had been destroyed, and he was terrified. Only Fred Rogers said his mother turned to him and said, "Oh, Fred, don't be scared. Don't be scared, Fred. Instead, don't look at the destruction on the TV. Instead, look for the helpers. Look for who else is there. Look for the doctors and the nurses, the policewomen and the firemen. Look for the neighbors and the friends. You have nothing to be afraid of. Look for them because you will know God is still at work in the world." Yes, Easter changes the way we view the world. Instead of viewing the destruction, instead of viewing the grief, instead of viewing the sadness, instead we anticipate the miracle that is about to happen. Maybe that's why Thomas Aquinas said the reason we go to church is to gain new vision. And Thomas Aquinas believed that if you followed Jesus long enough, if you became his disciple long enough, eventually it would change the way you see the world. And no longer would you see it from your own perspective. Instead, he said, eventually you would see it from God's perspective. Maybe that's why C.S. Lewis once said, "I believe in Christianity as I believe the sun has risen." Not simply because I see it in the sky, instead, because by it, I see everything else. Because of Easter, we no longer have to look at the world through earthly eyes. Because of Easter, we no longer have to see the destruction and not claim the promise. Easter gives us a new vision, a new way of seeing the world through kingdom eyes, through eternal eyes. We can watch the exact same events as everyone else. We can read the exact same papers, and yet we don't have to be overcome with grief. We can see a different thing. Instead of seeing only death, the eyes of faith, they let you begin to see the new life that's taking place. Instead of seeing the collapse of a nation, the eyes of faith allow you to see a kingdom that's beginning to form. Instead of seeing only Good Friday, the eyes of faith allow you to cling to the promise of Easter Sunday. Easter, it can change your vision. I believe in Christianity not simply because I see it, but because by it, I see everything else. And so I called a woman right after she got the diagnosis. The word the doctors used was inoperable. They said they would treat the symptoms, but eventually the disease would simply take its course. I asked the woman how she was handling the news, and she said to me, "You know, I'm all right." And she said, "It's been a roller coaster of a week. A lot of emotion, to be sure. We shed a lot of tears. But I want you to know there have been so many blessings as well. You know, yesterday I spent hours talking to my brother on the phone. I haven't talked to him in, well, years. And the doctors and the nurses here in the hospital, they've been so kind to us. And the church family and its support has been so overwhelming. God has been with us every step of the way. I tell you what," she said, "I'm just so amazed the miracles keep happening." Yeah, sometimes in life, it's not what you see, but how you see it that makes all the difference. And so Peter knelt down and he prayed, and he turned to the body of Tabitha and he said to Tabitha, "Get up." And the woman stood and she spoke. And news of this miracle spread throughout the entire region of Joppa, and many came to believe, for they had a new way of seeing the world. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Will you pray with me? Eternal and loving God, we give you thanks that we do not have to view this world from our own earthly perspective, but instead we can cling to the promises that indeed after every Good Friday comes an Easter Sunday. We cling to the promise, O Lord, that the worst thing in life is never the last thing, because you have been raised and your kingdom is beginning to take shape. So, Lord, bless us with this Easter vision. Bless us with your kingdom eyes, your eternal eyes, that we might walk through our life. We might see the world as you do and be filled with hope. For we offer this prayer in the name of Christ Jesus, the one who was blind and helped us see. Amen.